You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hello? Hello, my name is Kyle.
What's this slow intro?
I don't know. I thought we were fucking around. I don't know. Are we going? Here we go.
Okay. All right.
Hello. Hello. Okay. Hello. Hello. My name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
This is the podcast where, for better or worse, for good or bad, this gnat is going to get fucking ended right now. Did I get him? I don't know. So that's what we do. We kill gnats on this fucking show. No, we talk about experiences, whether they be in life, in video games, and movies. And today we got a video game-based episode.
We do.
We're going to talk... I think this is our most current game we've ever discussed.
Yeah, unless you... I mean, if you don't count the Life of Lawn or Little Bub game.
I don't think... those aren't technically out yet, so I think this
so
one
those
would
are even
be,
more current,
yeah,
right?
Fair enough. So they behind the scenes.
Yeah.
No, this will be our most current game. We're going to talk about Uncharted 4.
A Thief's End.
A Thief's End. The swan song, if you will, in the Uncharted series.
Yeah.
And it's very rare for a game to get a fourth title and not go for a second trilogy.
Yeah, and just start anew.
What'd you call it? What, is that a quintilogy? Or is
Quint would be...
Five?
Yeah.
Well,
it'd be a sextilogy.
Sextilogy? Ooh. Ooh.
Because sex and sept is seven.
Yeah,
yeah,
so I like
sextilogy.
That. So this is the fourth one. They've told us this is the last one that is going to be made.
Which, no spoilers right now, but it's pretty clear. It's the last one for at least the characters as we know.
It wraps up nicely.
Yeah.
I will say that. But I could see him doing more. But yeah.
We'll
get into that,
We can get into that later.
We will. But before we get into that, we're going to have a little discussion like we always do.
Hey.
And what the fuck are we going to talk about? We've said it twice and I can't remember.
All right, so we had an audience question.
That's right. From Lawrence Trimbley from Boston, Massachusetts.
I did not think that was the last name, but okay.
That's what I swear I thought I read was Lawrence Trimbley from Boston, Mass. And his question was...
What is your favorite... Street Fighter 2 Tournament Edition character.
Which is a great question for the Uncharted episode we're about to record.
It's a great question that is relevant and is on the minds of the masses.
Yeah, everybody's talking about Street Fighter 2 Tournament Edition Turbo. Thank you, Lawrence Trimbley, for this amazing question. I'm going to let you go first, Ryan.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So... My favorite Street Fighter 2 character, and probably character recurring, like in Street Fighter 4, I also played him a lot, is Dhalsim.
Okay, Dhalsim is a very good choice.
Yeah, and if he specifically wanted us to say why we like this character. So you can't just say, Chun-Li, done. So I like Dhalsim because he is kind of easy. He has a very far reach.
He's very good at distance control.
Yes, I don't think he's very powerful. I think there are characters that are definitely more powerful and can win in a match, like hands down, no problem. But Dhalsim, yeah, the distance control, the range control, I like that. I like keeping something away from me than like getting up close and panicking. I feel like I'm like more in the game when I play with Dhalsim.
Can you do a Dhalsim impression?
No.
You can't?
I can't.
Just for the audience, I'm going to try it right now. Yoga, fire.
Oh.
Yoga, flame.
Okay.
Probably not the best. There's a bus right outside the door. I don't know if we're going to be picking this up. This is what we do. It's how we record. Guerrilla style. Get the fuck out of here, bus. Who rides public transportation? Slobs.
Ooh.
That's who. Am I attacking people?
I think you might be.
I don't know.
I think the people who listen to us probably don't have jobs and like rely on...
You probably got a point there. I'm sorry. Public transportation is the savior of this society.
Do you think millennials know about public transportation?
No, they don't.
Do they
have
even
cars.
Know what it is?
Millennials.
They were just
know
given
anything.
Cars at birth.
Yeah.
Because they were
at birth.
At birth.
They were raised in the car.
They were raised born. In a Lexus.
I like it. I like it. Okay. So Dhalsim, would you say he's your favorite overall?
No, I mean like he's the one I pick. Play with, he's like my favorite choice, I guess. I don't know. If we're going just designs of the characters, Street Fighter 2 hit me when I was young enough, like Blanka. Obviously, I was like, what the fuck's that green guy with the red mohawk? Like, I'm into that.
A lot of
kids
do like
Blanka. Oh, he makes electricity?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was drawn to him. It's like anybody, like, you show a kid a Spider-Man cartoon, they'd be like, Venom's cool, I like Venom.
I still like Venom, yeah.
Well, that's because, you know, you're just a kid.
Exactly.
You're just a giant,
kid. I still like Venom, though. He's pretty badass.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's the best. I just enjoy Venom. I like the dichotomy between Venom and Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure.
You disagreeing? What are you going with here?
I
fucking call me out. What's
I just, Venom's kind of a little lazy.
He's very lazy. He's very 90s.
I fucking caught it.
Oh, man, you caught the net. That's nothing, but we're going to say it's 10 points.
Okay. I'll take that 10 points.
There you go.
Yeah, no, just Venom's lazy.
He's very lazy. He's very 90s.
Yeah.
But he's, I like him. Again, it's probably because I was raised with Venom.
Yeah.
He came out right when I was getting into comics, and mm-hmm. I thought he was pretty cool.
Oh,
so.
He's definitely designed for that. It's,
yeah.
You know what it is about Venom? It's not necessarily the character, but the way he was made and the time period, it was like that 90s edge. Like,
Todd
McFarlane came in and was making Spawn at this point, so all of the comics had to get a little bit edgier and a little bit tootier.
You can also
that's Venom.
Easily tell that Venom has a very big design steal from fucking Violator.
Yeah. Well, it was McFarlane.
Yeah,
that was
exactly.
McFarlane era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With that unhinged jaw.
Yeah.
McFarlane did design Venom, did he not?
I believe so.
Or created him?
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
I believe so, too. So, all right, yeah. I totally get it.
I
like him. He's not the best.
Blanka I liked as a kid, and then as an adult, I don't know. I don't really care about most of the other designs. I also will go with Vega, would probably be a third choice.
Vega.
Because of the claws.
Who is...
I thought were pretty cool. The mask.
I could go
with or without the mask. That doesn't do it for me.
I believe Vega is actually Balrog in Japan.
Yes. Yeah.
While Balrog is actually
M. Bison.
Mm-hmm. And M. Bison is actually Vega.
Those three characters rotated names for the American release.
Yeah. So originally these characters had different names. And when they shipped it over to America, they changed the name of three characters for no reason.
Well, I think because the boxer
Bison,
was M. Bison, they didn't
they
want to loss
it like
from
M.
Mike
Tyson.
They did not.
Oh, because this was after the Punch-Out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it's just Mike Tyson. You know, it's a well-known celebrity here, and I think he's very obviously influenced by Mike Tyson being a black boxer and all of that. So I think it was that. They just rotated everything. So it's a little weird when you talk to other people that, like, internationally, I guess, that I don't do that much, but I know Nathan does a lot. Nathan is the biggest Street Fighter 2 fan and Street Fighter in general. So
this would have been a question better for an episode with Nathan on.
Probably, but
Lawrence Tremblay from Boston, Massachusetts. That's right, I remember.
Yeah, you fucked up, Lawrence. We're calling you out. So I'm gonna go ahead and answer now.
This is about as fun as that Wheel of Fortune sign thing we did.
Spoilers, we got a new segment that we're doing, and Ryan hated the second episode. It was pretty good. We should play Street Fighter 2 Tournament Edition.
Tournament. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I would do that.
Yeah, I'll lose. I'm not great.
So you'll go with Dhalsim.
Dhalsim probably is my overall choice.
Yeah. My favorite character is a recent change, but in the last...
It's Chun-Li because of that butt.
Amazingly, it's not Chun-Li. And if it was for that butt, it'd be Cammy. Let's be honest.
Oh, that's
here.
Right. Cammy does have the butt.
Let's be honest.
Chun-Li has the thighs.
Chun-Li has the
thighs.
Cammy has the butt.
That's
but no,
right.
It's actually the least dressed character in the entire series, though. Zangief.
I forgot about Zangief.
I love Zangief, man.
Yeah.
He's my favorite character to play. Like I said, it's a very recent development. I never understood him when I was younger. I was always a Ryu kid. Or Ryu, if you want to be a technical dick about it. But recently, I've gotten into Zangief, and I really like the fact that I discovered that he can totally negate fireballs. I had no idea he could do this as a kid, but he can either, I think in the newer ones, he can grab them with like his green palm hand, or if you just, he can just spin around them, like they go right past him. It's a crazy thing, and...
Yeah, I never knew that. Never.
It's cool. People don't know that. A lot of people who don't, especially play Street Fighter. So you drop that on them because most people are gonna go Ryu because that's what everybody plays.
Mm-hmm.
You fucking dodge that first fireball with a lateral spin, and everybody's like, "What the fuck?"
Oh, because that's what they do. They pick Ryu because that Shoryuken is like the easiest combo to remember.
Down to forward.
I just did it.
Hey, bah, bah. So you spin, and then if you do the I think it's the EX version. Where you can actually move forward while you lateral spin, you can get in close on him. and then just start grabbing them, and then it's over. He's a lot like King from the Tekken series. He doesn't have the unbreakable combo that King has, but I mean, once you're in close, it's going to be bad news if you're going up against Zangief. So that's he's my new guy for the last probably 5 years. So that's who I would go with.
I'd say, in all honesty, Street Fighter is probably like my least favorite of any fighting game.
I'm also there.
I just brought up Tekken. I'm like, I could easily give you like top five Tekken players. I love Tekken right now.
Who's your favorite Tekken?
I go with Eddie.
Eddie Gordo?
Actually, well, depends on which Tekken, because after that I go Chrissy Montero.
Okay.
But I stick in the leg family.
Fair enough.
What kind of fighting style is that?
My favorite.
Capoeira?
Capoeira, yep. My favorite Tekken is easily Lei Wulong.
Yeah.
Really like Lei, because Lei's fun because you can fuck with people that you're fighting with, because he's very... you don't know if he's attacking or what a lot of times, and you can also just like Lei on the ground and then people have to come up to you, and I love it. It's really fun to fuck with people, and I like to do that in games anyways. Just be annoying, I guess.
Yeah,
so
that's... Yeah.
So, I guess that's a perfect segue, because we're going to talk about some annoying things I feel in our game this week, which is Uncharted 4.
Yeah, we will get to that after the bumper.
Yep, and the bumper is what music? Have you picked this?
No, I never do. You should have asked this every time.
I always think you have it planned because you always remember the bumper.
I remember the bumper, but...
Never what we're going to play.
No, because I haven't done it yet.
Okay. Well, so I'm going to let you pick anyways. So here is the bumper music that Ryan has somehow picked magically for this episode right now.
I'm sorry, I meant to tell you before we started the episode about the bumper, but I don't forget the bumper.
And then we got the bumper.
And then I saw you guys like, he's not going to get the bumper on that funny.
A lot of times.
Okay.
You know, like,
he did find the one.
He
did find it exactly.
You were like, oh, it's a song for the last part of the game.
I mean, in all honesty,
last song and
do title music. Just the title music is fine.
But I don't think there is title music because it's just a shot of a pirate in a cage.
Oh, yeah, it's ambient.
Because I was going to say title too, but I don't think there actually
is title.
You can do any kind of thing. I know
there's Uncharted 4 OST, whatever's the most popular song in the episode. Yeah, right?
All right.
A little triangle goes to a big fat triangle. And you catch them.
Here, wait, I've actually got it, and I'll say it when we come back.
All right, so it's recording. Go ahead and tell me what you're going to do it.
So, there we go. I think that was the battle theme whenever the soldiers come into effect. The music kind of ramps up there. I'm pretty sure that's what we went with there.
Sure.
So, so there we go. That was our bumper leading us into Uncharted 4. So let's talk about Uncharted in general, Ryan.
Yes.
Have you played all four of these games?
I did. I specifically bought a PS3 for the Uncharted games.
Really?
Yeah, I held out... I got a 360 right away, and then a Wii because it was so different. I had the 360, so I didn't think, like, why get a PS3 that plays mostly the same games? And then Killzone and Little Big Planet, the stuff they were putting out, which I've gone back, they're fine games, but, like, they weren't, like, I'm going to make that jump for that game. And then Uncharted 1 came out, and people were like, wait, this is actually good. I was like, really? It's just, you know, Tomb Raider. Like, whatever. It's a new Tomb Raider, but with a guy. So I waited. Then Uncharted 2 came out, and I saw that opening with the train off the cliff, and I was like, holy shit, this is next level gaming, like, this is it, I'm doing it. So, I waited another year, because I'm really slow to the trend, but I bought a PS3 when the third game came out. Bought all three of those, played them right away without any distractions, one after the other.
I played, 2 was the first one I played.
Okay.
And then I went back, and I played part of 1, and I've never played 3.
Ooh, so, okay.
But I feel like I kind of got an idea of what is happening in 3. And
there's new characters in 3.
Yeah, do they?
And that they just completely dispatch of in 4. Like, they don't make any mention to again. Okay. Which is kind of odd, I found. I felt like 3 was a good wrap-up of the series, because they're like, here's these people from 1 and 2, and we're going to cover it. Whereas 4 is like, we're going to focus on these characters, and then these other characters,
So
we're not going to worry about
before them. We get into 4, let me ask you a question about 3.
Yes,
does
3 please go ahead. Yeah,
wrap
sorry.
Up the story of the other love interest of Nathan that is not Elena? I think
she's Chloe?
I think it's Chloe, the darker-skinned brunette chick. Is she in 3 as well? Because she's not in 4.
No, she's not in 4. They don't make any mention of it.
At all.
Which is weird.
It's very weird. Because I know she's in 1 and 2.
No love triangle shit or anything. Like, don't put that in the game. That's fine. But, like, mention. Like, a cameo. Something. Like, she needs... Like, they need to go to her, like, over a phone call for help or something. Like, something. It's so weird. They wrap it up in the fact that Nathan makes his choice with Elena.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's about it. But,
so,
like,
she
does
in
come
the game.
Back. She has a part, but it's that kind of smaller cameo.
Because I have debated picking up the Uncharted collection.
It's worth it.
I think so, but playing 4 reminded me that, like, if you've played 1 Uncharted, you have played every Uncharted, I feel.
I agree with that to an extent. I think 2, 3, and 4 are all the same. And I think that's not a knock, because I think each one of them are fantastic games in what they do, but it is the very small tweak to the formula. They don't change it.
It does get better.
Yeah. But it's just
but
like
it doesn't change
the small bump.
They're not
reinventing the wheel.
Exactly.
But I will say those 3 games are such a drastic step up from 1.
Yes.
I think 1 is an average game to good game at best. But everything else after that, like, So that's how I feel about 1. Then 2 is just phenomenal. And then 3 is, like, also phenomenal. And then 4 is, like, also phenomenal. And it's kind of hard to go up from so great.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to make that better. And then I feel like if you do change it, then, I don't know, you could have a converse reaction. Whereas, like, how I'm feeling about the God of War trilogy is, like, oh, they're doing something very different. I don't like that. Like, I'm out. Like, that's
really?
Not really what
I'm
I want. Because
I'm very excited about that.
Which we talked a little bit, but, like, that's how I feel. So I can't really fault Naughty Dog for doing more of the same when, like, 2 was so good.
2 is really good. And I have another question about 3. Because, I didn't research it. I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah, that's fine.
I know from marketing and from seeing, like, it's desert-based. Does it deal with pyramids? It's not.
No. I mean, there's one part in the desert.
Because I would really have liked to see Nathan tackle ancient Egypt, I feel.
No, they don't do ancient Egypt.
Well, I mean, just in general, like, if they did a 5th game, like, I'm surprised that they never did an ancient Egypt
an
setting.
Egyptian, yeah.
Because they could have done so much with that.
Yeah, they could, I mean, yeah, it's still there. They could do that. They don't really hit that. There's a big set piece that ends you up in the desert as Nathan Drake, alone, you're stranded. And it's a lot like the shipwrecked.
Okay, yeah. And
chapter
4?
And 4, yeah. It's nothing really happens. It's just like we're setting a tone and a mood and an atmosphere. And so you just wander around the desert and you slowly start to lose it, start to see mirages that fall
really?
Apart.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
it's,
cool.
It's really, it's very, very well done.
That's very nice and unique. I like that. Yeah. Okay. Well, that gets me excited to try 3 then. I thought that it might have done with pyramids and such, but again, I didn't really know, so.
Yeah. So, and 3 is also the one where they take a shift and they kind of move away from the spiritual and, like, the out there, 2.
Which 2 had.
2
and
had,
then,
1 had in spades. Like, 1, if I don't...
I don't remember a lot about 1.
I
like
think I the ending, it's like they find, like, a... It's in a submarine and they find, like, a bunch of dead people that come back as zombies. And I think literally
so
the end
zombies.
Of the first game is, like, zombies. It's reanimated corpses.
Because 2 has the abominable snowmen...
Yeah,
which then you actually
the
realize,
warriors
yeah,
or
they're actually, but I think they're also undead too, which is very weird.
Yeah, and the third one, they start to go down that route, and what's so brilliant about this, because it's like the third act of Uncharted usually is like you have this big weird mystical thing that comes in, and then that's the focus. is they start to do that, and then you find out you've been drugged and you've been hallucinating
for
the entire time, and that's not what's happening at all.
Okay.
So I thought that was a very clever play in that one, and then 4, they pretty much get rid of all of
4 is very, very based in reality. Yeah. I don't remember anything supernatural at all, which I really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the high point of this game, and I will go ahead and right now recommend it over all Uncharted's, you should absolutely play 4, because it not only has Nathan Drake being voiced by
Nolan North,
it also has his brother.
I knew you were going to do this. And it's
if you don't know, it's Troy Baker.
Troy Baker. I was like,
who is the, if you have played a video game, you have heard Nolan North and you have heard Troy Baker in the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
They pretty much voice every main character ever. They are fantastic. It's amazing having them together in this game as a brother duo. It is my favorite part of this game. I love Sam Drake. He is such an amazing addition, and I'm upset that it took him 4 games to bring this character in. Because he's never referenced at all before this game, correct?
No, never.
I didn't think so. Yeah.
No.
Nobody knows it, because Nathan tries to forget about him because he's been locked in a prison for... Well, Nathan thinks he's dead, actually, which is what's crazy.
Yeah,
so,
which is a fantastic narrative concept that they came up with to make this character that has not been a part of the mythology, like, into the mythology.
It totally works. You totally believe it.
It doesn't... Yeah, it doesn't feel forced in. It doesn't feel cheap or anything. And, like, the character makes sense, too. It's not like... Well, we feel our game's lacking this, so we're going to put in this character to rectify it. It comes from a very natural place and fits in very well with the story, I think.
Sam and Nathan together were my favorite parts. Towards the end, when you're teamed with Elena, I just wanted Sam back. I wanted that interaction because Troy and Nolan are just so good at, like, you fucking think they're brothers, man. Yeah. It works so naturally. And they have such a great dynamic and just flow of their conversation. Mm. It works so well. I just wanted so much more of that. There's a slight teasing from the older brother to Nathan. And you just get that a lot in the way that he's talking. It's fucking fantastic. So
yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you say, but I will try to make it known that, like, when you do pair up with Elena, it's not bad.
It's not bad. No, it is not bad.
It's still really good. Exactly. You're right. It's very fun. It's what you had with, like, Chloe.
It's very buddy cop.
Back in Uncharted 2 and 3. Like, when you paired up with Chloe, it was the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe even Sully to an extent when you pair
up with Sully. I really enjoy Sully. Sully's always fun. Yeah. He's just great. He just doesn't care. He reminds me of one of the fucking Murray brothers.
Yeah.
The one. Brian Doyle Murray. He's fucking great. And that's exactly who Sully reminds me of. And it's enjoyable too.
He's great. He's pretty much Nathan Drake's mentor, essentially. Yeah. He's the one who helped get him into
too. Yeah.
Yeah, the father figure is a good way to put it. Mm-hmm.
So I like the beginning of this game, how it sort of tutorials you. Well,
it's 2-hour prologue. Like,
well, and it also it sort of Tarantino's you, does it not? Yeah. It starts with the boat.
Well, which is what they've been doing now.
Yeah.
Like, they start you in media res and then, like, rewind it back.
Yes. And so I like that aspect of it because what happens after the very beginning of the game doesn't happen till, like, the last 10% of the game. So you don't get that conclusion till that point. And then you've got all this other stuff in between it.
Like, yeah.
So they basically Tarantino you into this.
They do. It's a good thing story-wise, but it's also just, what a fucking incredible visual. Like, when you see how the PS4 is handling, like, the ocean waves and the water mechanics and the physics of the boats on the water, it's fucking gorgeous.
This game is gorgeous just in general. It's amazing looking.
Like, I'm hard-pressed to think of a better looking game, technically, right now. I think there are, sure, games that have, like, more draw distance or, like, technically higher power, but, like, this game just looks so fucking good. It looks like what they were trying to achieve in Final Fantasy Spirits Within
as
a movie, but it does it perfectly and has, like, way more emotions in the face. Like, you feel for these characters, whereas, like, you know, those movies were just, like, it's a big block of wood. It's like a plastic doll walking around with Alec Baldwin's voice. Like, good, that's why I want my Final Fantasy movie. jab at Spirits Within from fucking 15 years later.
That's a good jab. But, it's Alec Baldwin and also Steve Buscemi. Those are the only two guys I know.
Oh,
from
that's
movie.
Right. Yeah.
Steve Buscemi is also in that movie. I
forgot all about that.
That movie's really bad. We should maybe do an episode on it.
We probably should, yeah.
Because a big Final Fantasy fan I am, that movie's awful. We will do that. But anyway.
But it looks so good. That's my point.
The game looks amazing. Like, you can see individual beard stubble on characters' faces.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
I mean, if we're going there, like, Nadine, one of the villains in this game. Her hair, I was like blown away. It's really probably not very healthy for a 30-year-old man to be playing a video game and like marveling over a character's hair. And like, that's what I was doing. I was like, Laura, look at her hair. She was like, yeah, it looks good. Like, no, you don't understand. Like, video games don't do this curly kind of perm hair because
really
it's so hard. But they have like every single strand. It's incredible. It's so good.
I like her hair, and I was also really impressed with the villain's hair at the final conclusion. Rafe's hair. When him and Nathan, spoilers, are having this big sword fight. Because Rafe's always had this really slicked back, cool-looking hair. And at the end of this game, he's having this big fight with Nathan. And his hair is in more of a disarray, and there's these individual strands all hanging down. And it just looks so cool. And you can see that the character, it's like visually showing that Rafe has broken down and he's lost control and he's a dog in a corner. He has nothing else and he's so it's a really nice touch and it looks also just really cool. I kept marveling at that.
I think that's one thing you can always praise any of the Uncharted games is their attention to detail has always been like some of the best for every respective generation. Their games are like their attention to detail is hands down matched by none.
Well, and they get better. And I think part of that is probably helped by the fact that they are focused on just the PlayStation. So they can really get in there and break the guts down of what is going to... The Uncharted games are... It's amazing because like, you think that they're pushing the limit and then they put out the next one and you're like, well, holy fuck, man. This is nothing compared to what the other one was doing.
This is only the first Naughty Dog game we've gotten on this generation. And like, to think back to the first Uncharted and then like what a leap it was to the second one, like, I cannot wait for whatever they do next is going to be even better. Like, I don't believe it right now. I just can't see how it gets better, but it will.
I believe so, too. So we've talked about Sam, and we talked about Nathan. What I was going to say. So this tutorial level. It's you as Nathan and Sam as children, and Nathan is in the orphanage.
And Rafe's there.
Rafe is
there. I jumped ahead a little bit.
But this is them as children in the orphanage. And it's a great tutorial level showing you all the new things and just getting you re-acclimated to the playstyle.
Yeah.
Because it's
it you... It gets you introduced to the stealth mechanic, which is new for Uncharted.
And that was really cool. And it's just you, like, kind of sneaking around the orphanage trying to sneak out. And again, it's really nicely done. I think that child Nathan and child Sam are fantastic.
Good voice acting and good character models.
They look very believable and you feel for them.
Yeah.
And it's all... This game does a lot of good things. It has some things I don't like that we will get into in a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. But, hands down, I really enjoyed playing this game. I burned through, like, the last probably 4 hours just yesterday. What was crazy is that how long it did take me, but it didn't feel like it took that long. It's like watching a movie most of the time.
I think the average playtime is about 15 to 16 hours, but it feels like a 7-8 hour game. Mm-hmm. Like it goes by so quick.
Nice grab.
I think I got it,
I did get it.
All right. Yeah, but so it is long, but it just the pacing's so good, and I really think any game that has a chapter system, like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's, like, the design fundamentals going into it where you're like, this chapter needs to be visually different from this one or pacing-wise. Like, it allows the game to flow better. So it does feel like you get 30 minutes of one thing, and now we're in a vehicle. Oh, and now we're in this open world, and then now we're in a chase section. And it just...
It has very good pacing.
It's paced so well,
It has. It breaks up monotony a lot.
Which Naughty Dog has always done since the Crash Bandicoot games.
The thing...
Like, they've been very good at
that. If I'm going to... Level my first complaint here, though.
Boom. Let's complaint one.
The first, my first complaint is that I hate the shooting sections. I hate any time that those guys show up. Let me clarify, because it did get better towards the end when I realized I could go into options and turn on snap to aim.
Mm-hmm.
because for most of the game I had played without that, and I didn't even think to check that.
Oh, I didn't do that either.
Once I turned it on, I found it much more enjoyable to play.
Okay. Here is my criticism of your criticism.
Okay.
I fucking told you this like two months ago. I said the shooting is garbage, and your response to me was, "Oh, it's fine. I'm doing just good with it. It's fine. It's okay."
I know.
So how dare you come back here after telling me you were fine with it? It's not great. Like,
I'm getting the anger. No, I totally agree. Yeah.
I 100% agree.
Well,
with you.
And I have played Uncharted, and that is the biggest sticking point in all the Uncharted games is always the shooting, and
it never feels satisfying.
It's like, not satisfying.
The mechanics or whatever, but they feel tanky too. Like, why do I shoot a guy 10 times in this hyper realistic game? Like, it just doesn't feel right. It's like some kind of disconnect. So when I do get to a shooting section, it's like, I'm going to be stealth, because as soon as I start shooting, I'm not going to have fun.
So on that note, on the stealth note, Solid Snake, Nathan Drake is not.
Stealth-wise? Yeah.
Yeah, I will say that. I tried to do every section starting off stealth, and I'd get like 2 dudes, immediately get seen, and I'm like, well, fuck, here we go, we're shooting it out.
I'll agree. It is a new stealth system, so it's not going to be as good as Metal Gear Solid 5, but it's better than Metal Gear Solid 1 or 2, because I think about half of the fights and encounters I got away with without being detected.
Okay, ever. That's cool. I know I didn't, but it's just different acclimations, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe I was trying to be too fastly stealth, if that's understandable.
Oh yeah, like, when I messed up, it's because I was like, yep, I pushed myself. Yeah, like, I knew I was gonna get caught.
I was definitely pushing a lot, but I don't know. I think too, my problem was in the beginning, I was trying to hold on to like a gun that I liked for way too long.
Nathan is
much more of the
grab and go,
like adapt on the fly. Mm-hmm. So, okay, this gun has 10 shots left. Pick up the one that has a full clip of 60 and fucking make it work. And so once I started to do that too, it got better. Mm-hmm. So those things helped.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's talk about the story of this game. This story is about pirates.
A little bit about pirates.
Well, like, I mean, that is the main theme. You're searching for a lost pirate treasure.
I mean, it's like saying, I don't know, Star Wars is about space. Like, it informs the story, but the story isn't about pirates.
But I mean, each Uncharted has a central...
It just happens in a pirate place.
It has a central treasure that the game is focused on. Like, I know...
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
2 is the Lost City of Shangri-La, mm-hmm. is what he's searching for. 3, I know, is...
I think it's the
Sir Francis Drake's fortune?
What's that? The Grail.
Oh, the Holy Grail?
I think it's the Grail.
Okay. I forget what the first one is.
I don't know. I don't remember either. That one left my mind really quickly.
Yeah.
It didn't form much of an impression.
You know, again, if I pick up the collection, I'll focus again on that one. But, so this one is dealing with pirate treasures. Yes. And it really coolly leads you to a lot of nice-looking tropical locations, mm-hmm. which look fucking amazing again on the PS4, as
which
we've established.
For the first time, you get vehicles in these open worlds, because mm-hmm. I don't think you had this before, where you might have had like an on-rail section or something like that, but like you get to drive a boat around pretty much like a mini-map, like, or a vehicle over like this big mountain plain. And so the tropical locations, like, is, again, just beautiful.
It's really gorgeous.
Driving around like these different islands and everything, looking for these treasures.
It's very rare, but this game, definitely many times I was stopping and just admiring what I was being shown.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I did it is that in the tutorial section, when you are reliving the prison section of Nathan's life, and you, again, it's a prison, in Brazil or South America.
Yeah.
And it's just jungle and there's coast, and it's just fucking amazing at certain points what you're seeing in those sections.
Yeah. I think that's something to address real quick too, is like, there are so many coasts and beaches and waters in this game, but each one feels very different, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible the variety they get out. The same things, essentially. So where were you going with this?
I don't know. Talking about beaches, talking about just how great the game looks in general. I guess if I can level another complaint.
Criticism two.
Here we go. I feel like Uncharted in general is known for these massive, great set piece moments.
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
I don't feel this game has very many. The only one that I can really remember being worried and nervous about is when you're in the Jeep and you have to take the winch up to a tree and around a boulder. And when you're driving up and pulling yourself up, this boulder moves and it knocks you off the cliff. And you're stuck in the cliff hanging in this Jeep. And that is a very intense scene. It's reminded me a lot of the train scene from 2. But other than that, I don't really remember anything crazy. Well, there is also the building that falls down that you're running through.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible because that's not only like you're just going through a building that's falling down, but then that turns into a boss fight that has like several amazing jaw-dropping moments in it. But I don't know, I'd say that. There's the entire Madagascar Jeep down the hill, then you're hanging on the rope beside the bridge, and then you get dragged by the car, and then you climb up the car, then you have to jump on the bike, and then that giant tank is chasing you. Like, I feel like that's as big of a set piece as many I've seen. Like, that includes something like, and this is what the game does good, it's not just like giant big explosions, but like in the middle of that like chaotic crazy scene, the car flips over on you and it's on fire and you got to get out of there before like it explodes or something bad happens. And it's this small, intimate moment where you're in there and you have to, like, kind of crawl your way out.
It's very zoomed in on Nathan.
Then shoot two people coming real close, but, like, so, like, they do small moments really well, too, is what I was trying to say there. But, like, that's an incredible scene. I think there are so many great scenes and more diversity. It wasn't a problem for me.
Okay. Maybe none of them stood out.
Yeah.
Here's my other, I guess we can call this one, complaint three, if we're throwing them up there. Okay, so just bringing that up, the Jeep chase scene, once you're hanging off and all that, how many times did you die and get restarted on that?
One time, and it was because I wasn't sure how to climb up the rope.
Okay.
Which is kind of frustrating.
I feel this game gave me a lot of those moments where I felt like I cheaply died.
Really?
One that I remember a lot is towards the end of the game when you're running from the armored vehicle chasing you. There's one section where, like, I had to jump over a fence, run up, and then run left across a wall. But, like, it didn't feel like the camera was really leading me on where to go. And I died there, like, 5 times. Because the Jeep would blast through the wall and just kill me. And then there were a few times when I got past where the Jeep came through, but because I was technically still in the kill zone, I didn't get hit by it, but it still killed me. And it was very weird and confusing to me at first.
Okay.
But it's not a bad complaint.
No,
it's just,
I understand, though. It takes you out of the game.
Yeah.
For such a cinematic game.
Exactly. For those cinematic moments to get taken out of them and just to replay them.
It's a skip on a DVD where you're just like, ah, shit. Like,
and,
okay.
What's really crazy is that section specifically really stuck out to me because at every other point in this game, it is very, very, very good at subtly showing you where you need to go.
Yeah.
I felt like that was the first time that I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing. Because even when I would start to move the right way, the camera wasn't moving and showing me I was doing it correct. It was almost like I was against an invisible wall.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just very frustrating. But again, I knew I was at the end, and so I pushed through, and eventually it somehow worked, and the cutscene continued, so.
Hmm.
Again, I don't know how specific that is, but that was just something I personally noticed.
I didn't notice it. I know when that happens to me, I get super frustrated, so I get it completely. But as you were saying this, I was looking down at my notes, like in future talking points down, and like one of my things from the very end of the game is such great guiding of the players, light cues, statues pointing you which way to go, so great. And then you're just like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, which way I was going.
That was the only time.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, it is really great at even just subtly showing you. Cliff faces, generally, a lot of times they've got bird shit on them.
Yeah.
That is another thing. Like, if Nathan Drake is not exploring, is he spending every goddamn waking moment at his local rock climbing gym?
All right. So, okay. Whatever.
Is he
I'm
also
glad
part
they don't
Spider-Man?
Show this shit and I can just think about it in my head as opposed to like Batman versus Superman where we need a shot of Ben Affleck like hammering a fucking tire for CrossFit. It's like, I don't care how he becomes Batman. I just want to see him be Batman.
Fair enough.
So I don't fucking
I get it.
Care.
But it's just like the dude moves so deftly for no fucking...
Yeah.
Like he's free climbing everything. And that's another thing I really liked is that like... You know, one of my big things when we talked about Eco, I love the sense of scale in Eco.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, this game's scale. There are times, especially towards the end, when you're climbing that fucking mountain face, dude, and you are, like, clearly a good, like, 800, 900 feet up above the fucking ground, and you can see the pirate cities over here, it's still in the jungle, and...
And the fact that they lead into each other, it's not like, here's this, and then we're gonna cut completely and go with that. It's like... You're in a small place, or you're like in the side of a mountain, and you're like, wow, these tunnels are pretty crazy and big. And then you step out, and then it's this big vista, and you're like, that's amazing. And then you see somewhere in the background, and you're like, surely that's just like pre-rendered. No, you fucking
go there.
And that's, it is such an impressive game, technically. And like, that speaks to like the loading, too. Like, it loads once at the beginning, and then that's it. You could play this game in one go, never have a load time.
It is very nice.
It's a masterwork in technicality alone. Like what they do with the PlayStation and the Blu-ray format, like is incredible. Everybody should just be conferring with them of how to get
this?
Their game
yeah.
out. Yeah.
How do you do this? Because this is amazing.
But
and even when you die, like there's no we got to reload again.
No, it's
just
real quick. You're back into
it's
it.
It's gonna come right back
and
in.
The checkpoints are good. Now that you say it, now I remember, I didn't look at my sheet and think about this, but I'm sure it's on here. One of my big frustrations with this game, so this is complaint four.
Four!
Even though I highly recommend this game. Complaint four is the sections with the skeletons.
I know exactly.
The skeletons are such horseshit. Like, how are you supposed to dodge them? I just, like, lucky most of the time.
Did they kill you ever?
They kill me every single fucking time.
Really? Okay, because they never killed me. I got through that entire section first playthrough. I never died.
Or maybe they didn't kill me, but like I got hit every single time.
Oh, I got hit every fucking
and it's like,
time. And then it takes you to the gray screen where like you're almost dead. Then you come back. Yeah, totally.
Yes,
I totally
that's
get
what it
what
was.
You're saying.
I didn't die, but I got hit by every single one. And it's like, so are you just trying to jump scare me now? Or is there an actual strategy to this?
Because
I
Well, I wondered if because of the fact that it was a massive explosion in a confined cave system that it's sending the shockwave to, you're still getting hit. That's what I was interpreting it as.
Yeah.
But it's still very annoying.
It felt like anywhere I was, I got hit. And I just was like, all right, fucking push through because whatever.
Just get it done. I'm just done. Mm-hmm. Yep, I know. And then, I don't know, if it's a testament to the game's fucking structure and design, but... Then you get a breather, and then son of a bitch, there's fucking more of those things, and then some of them don't blow up, and then it's a trick, like, well, fuck, what are these gonna fucking piss me off and make me run away or not? So, it's kind of cool, but it's also very frustrating. I totally get you there.
Yeah.
So.
That's. Yeah.
Man, I had something else I wanted to bring up.
I mean, I can talk.
Yeah,
more
keep going.
While
keep
you
going.
Think.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I love the Uncharted games. And I kind of figured it out with this game specifically.
Go ahead.
I'll finish my point and then you go. But most games, especially since the beginning of like the cinematics in games, like you have gameplay and then you get a cinematic that is just incredible, like action that you could never do in the game. Like Final Fantasy stuff, like the Final Fantasies are a big proponent of this, where it's like you have very kind of, I don't want to say mundane gameplay because I enjoy the gameplay, but it's very rote. And then you get, like, this big, crazy cinematic with it, insane John Woo action, and you're just like, that's amazing. And you wait for that. But the Uncharted's do the exact opposite, where it's like, every cinema in this game are just people talking with other people. Like, that's the gameplay of Final Fantasies, and, like, most other games. And then, like, all the big, crazy set pieces
well, I think
are the gameplay.
They're rendered in engine, too. So
they are,
It doesn't pull you out with, like, some fancy, elaborate FMV, and it doesn't have to. Because, again, graphically, this game is so fucking great-looking anyways, like...
It's seamless.
Yeah.
It is completely
Well, that's
seamless.
Another... I like that it is so seamless, like, you go into a cutscene, and as you come out, it's ready for you to just take over control again and start moving. And a lot of times, you can start controlling at the end of the cutscene, so you're really taking control as it fades back into gameplay. It's a nice, subtle touch, and it's again, it's just so upsetting, and it's so marred by those points that you call the DVD skip, where it keeps happening to you. What I was going to say was that I really, really, really did enjoy this game, but I had this feeling going in, and I think I broached it to you earlier, but I do feel that the newest Tomb Raider does this better. In the sense that, like, it's letting you explore better.
I agree with you and disagree with you.
Rise of the Tomb Raider.
This butt crack. I don't know. Because I was just, like, staring absentmindedly, and then a butt crack appeared in it.
He's got a high butt crack. It's a medical condition. Tomb Raider.
I agree with you and I disagree with you. I think Tomb Raider is, specifically Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Yes, it's a better
game. Mechanically, it feels better, it plays better, and I kind of like the more openness to that game.
Yes, yes.
But Uncharted is all about the story, the cinematic experience.
That excels with you to that degree. But I'm just saying, playing as an explorer, exploring locales, I think Tomb Raider captures it better than Uncharted. Because a lot of times, even like, I know when I'm playing Tomb Raider, I'm looking for things. And when I'm playing Uncharted, I'm like, man, there might be a treasure over there, but I don't care. Yeah. That's another thing. Why is there not a sprint, or at least a jog faster button in Uncharted 4?
I don't think that's an issue.
You don't? I know a lot of times when I was in these larger expanses, and I was looking for things, for treasures, because I could. If I didn't find one, then I knew I had to just take Nathan's pace slowly back to where I was supposed to go.
But he's not, like, walking.
He's not walking, but it's a jog. It's not a run.
I think that's probably a technical limitation. Maybe. Like, they might not be able to render that many frames.
But again, that was just another, and it's a small gripe, but it is one that I was like, man, so many times I was like clicking in L3, like, why can't I not sprint? Just a little bit, just pick it up a bit right through here. Or even, you know, fuck, I'm getting chased by an APC shooting goddamn exploding rounds at me. Why are we jogging, Nathan? Let's fucking go, bro. Let's book it. So, but yeah, again, it's small things that I don't think overall take away from the fantastic experience that is Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
I think it is my favorite in this series. I will say that. I think a lot of that's due to the introduction of Sam.
Sam's a great addition. Yeah. And I think the villains are really good and memorable, too. I think Nadine and Rafe are both fantastic.
I think... I don't like that Nadine seems to have the... Like... She totally beats the shit out of Nathan and Sam at once.
She's military.
I get that, but at the same time, like, these guys have been doing it for a long time. And we're shown earlier on Nathan surviving in a fucking prison fight, like, kicking a lot of ass. And there's not a single section where he lands a fucking hit on Nadine. And it's just, they could have balanced it a little bit.
They make her like the Terminator.
Exactly.
Or
she is fucking indestructible.
Yeah.
That was one thing. It's like, come on, I can't get a hit.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? I know she's a badass. I believe she's a badass. But at that point, it's like, it's a little grating. Like, come on.
I get that completely.
Especially at that point where it's both brothers that still can't do anything.
But that set piece is so goddamn amazing.
Yeah, it's really great.
Let me tell you, like, my favorite scene in this game is her knocking Nate out of the window in this boss fight where you're two-on-one-ing her. He falls out, climbs up, swings around on a rope, and then does, like, the downward punch and breaks her through the fucking floor.
It's really cool.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's really great. I literally dropped my controller. I was like, fuck! And I walked away. Like, I was done. Like, the game had fully won me. I was belated and finished. Done. You don't have to do anything else. You got me there.
That was your set piece.
I loved it. That's not true. If we talk about, like, when I was fucking coming over this game, and, like, game of the year was the Crash Bandicoot throwback in the very beginning.
That's because
I was digging, like, they start with Nathan reliving his glory days in the attic with the toy gun.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking fantastic.
That was really cool.
That's a great scene. And then you go down and you have, like, the Elena stuff, and, like, that's actually pretty deep. Like, I'm actually getting a little bit emotional with this relationship. It's, like, really good. And then you throw in the Crash Bandicoot that, like, literally, they showed the opening, like the Sony opening, and you have to use the D-pad specifically to control. I was like, you're done. Like, you basically recreated it.
Did you beat the high score either time you
did it? I did
not. No.
I
didn't either.
I think it's like 3,500, and yeah. I was like 32 something.
I thought that I did way better the second time because I didn't die or anything.
Yeah.
I got a higher score the first time I played. I was like, what the fuck is this?
That's exactly what happened to me, too. I was like, well, I practice now.
Yeah,
like, I'm totally
know what's going to happen. I'm totally ready for this. Yeah, I killed it first try. Got a worse score. Like, this does not make sense.
Yes.
No.
And I love just Nathan's kind of reaction as he's playing the game. He's like, oh, loading time. It's like, what is this, a fox in pants? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a great subtle little nod to the history of Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
I don't really know what else I had to say. I think I had a few more things, but I guess they weren't that
important. What was your favorite set piece then? Or what was one of your favorite moments from this game?
I really, really liked Sam and Nathan exploring the pirate island. I just liked the location, how beautiful it did look. Like that, generally anytime Sam and Nathan were working together, it was almost always a joy.
Yeah, I agree.
I liked infiltrating the party. That was really
cool.
That's
a good one,
yeah. It's all really nicely done. I really liked the way that they handled Nathan and, I forget her fucking name all of a sudden, their relationship.
Elena.
Because, I mean, when he runs away and he's lying to her and all that. And
yeah.
She doesn't give him a free pass, but then they come together through, and that, I guess that is nice that they're you're playing as them instead of Nathan and Sam, because it's as they're going through, they're also repairing the marriage, and it's a nice touch.
It's realistic. I mean, the way they fight and what they fight about is very grounded in reality.
Absolutely understandable.
As opposed to like your typical rom-com that's like this absurd premise to get them to fight, or like it's the comedy of errors, like, well,
you did this,
but it looked like this, so now I'm offended. And
you took a bet to date me?
Yes.
Yeah, but I really fell in love with you. That's just, I can't stand you. I'm leaving. Until you come up to my sister's wedding in 2 weeks and surprise me and I fall in love with you again. But other than that, get away from me. Yes.
Spoiler alert for every Katherine Heigl movie, that's what it is. No, but it's they're real people with real, like, insight into the relationship. And it's like, the problem is Nathan's unhappy not exploring. He feels unfulfilled in life and it has nothing to do with her, but it's this thing that, you know, they're not doing as a couple. So his brother comes in and invites it all in. It makes sense why he does it. It makes sense why he hides it. And then the outcome, it just all makes sense.
Yep.
Like,
were you ever...
It's so well
during
done.
Any of the underwater sections, did you expect something to come up and attack you?
Yes, I always thought there
every
would be
motherfucking
a
time, and where the fuck they weren't there, I was pissed.
That's it.
Every time I was so on edge. Especially the first time when you're the scuba gear and you're rescuing the fucking, the semi-truck freight. I swear, I was like, there's got to be an alligator that's going to come up and it's going to fight
me. I thought there was something inside when I was fucking
I was actually pissed that none of that happened.
I wasn't pissed. I will say, like, I love that scene because you think you're in, like, some weird exotic location.
And
then you get pulled up and you're just, like, in a river in
like
the middle
in Mississippi.
Of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's,
I was like,
it's fucking dirty,
that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
that's
you think
so
you're doing
good.
This elaborate whole fucking, it's great. It's a great touch. Very nice. So,
yeah.
I think that's all my complaints. Again, I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. I feel if you've played one Uncharted, you've played them all. But if you haven't played an Uncharted, play this one, I feel.
I'd say maybe two and then four. Three's good, but it doesn't really add anything to the mythology. But, like, two is still a fantastic game.
I think two, it's still my
and
edge
four
out
is.
Four as my favorite, because two is really fucking good. But four... there's a lot going on in 4, and like you said, it does tie up a lot of things. It does have fucking Troy Baker, who is phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
I cannot stress that enough.
He's so good.
The interactions between Sam and Nathan, just goddamn, dude. It's so fucking good and natural, and every time. So
I think it might be hard to go back to 2 after
I think
playing
so too.
4.
Yeah.
So that's why I say do two first.
Okay, fair enough.
I can understand if somebody picks two as their favorite in the series so
Absolutely
far.
Absolutely understandable, yeah.
Four just hit it for me emotionally with the story. I loved it. I thought it was one of the most mature video games I've played in a long time.
Yeah.
And it's Naughty Dog is doing something with video games that nobody else is doing.
They're
with
not
this
always
and Last of Us. It's
I didn't like Last of Us, but that's another.
I've
episode.
Not played it yet.
Okay,
but
we should,
here,
I will finish
story
it.
Wise and characters, like they do something emotionally there that games don't typically do.
I own it. I own the HD on PS4.
I just bought it for like $12 at Best Buy. So.
I'll play it. And I'll finish it for this show. But
there we go.
I got a lot of complaints. But anyways. Before we finish up, I just want to ask you, what do you think of the epilogue?
I loved it. I thought it was beautiful, glad the game didn't do what I was thinking it was going to do. A Thieves' End kind of implies a certain ending.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it was going to be Nate, but I for sure was like, well, I love Sam. I'm pretty sure we're going to say goodbye to Sam at the end of this game.
That was my one thing, too, and I guess before we end, I'll get into that. The whole game, I kept thinking, like, man... If Sam is going to pull a fucking double cross, I'm just going to write this game off and it's a giant turd and I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Because it's the obvious way
it's
to go.
It's so obvious and
a
I kept expecting
A new character shows
it.
Up conveniently for this
and
one
just
thing.
And fucks Nathan over. And to a degree, yes, he does. But not in the way that you're expecting and it's handled very nicely.
Yeah.
And I was totally fine with it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't do it the way that I was expecting the whole game.
And there's kind of a twist on that surprise, too.
Yes.
So it's handled very well. And with the epilogue, I think they did it justice. I think they ended the game perfectly, and I thought very beautifully. I thought it was very one of the best send-offs for a franchise or characters I've seen in a video game. Period, hands down.
I wish that the Halo series could have gotten.
God, well, they won't do it because it's
no,
a cash cow.
But
it's just Master Chief's gonna live forever.
They're raping that fucking corpse, man, and it's so sad, and I hate it. But I know we're gonna get into that in the near future too, but we've discussed it already. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, well, maybe
I think it'll go downhill. But anyways,
the games we're playing are fine.
Yeah, I guess like I said, I've only played like the first 10 minutes of four, even though I've
actually
owned it.
That's not true. Four's pretty forgettable.
Yeah, that's what
it's a fine game. It plays well. It's forgettable.
I wish it would have ended at three. That's why I didn't finish four, because I was playing it and I was like, why?
I wish it would have ended
why
at
am I
one.
Playing this?
And then Halo 2, no story, just multiplayer. And then have a multiplayer-only game from now on.
I think three is such a fantastic ending.
That's actually what you should do. Bungie, 343 Studios, stop with the stories. We
just,
don't fucking
just
care
get
anymore.
The multiplayer.
Make Overwatch. Yeah.
Yeah,
make like really focus
well,
on a multiplayer
because,
game.
Because from what I've heard, five is like... 6 hours long anyways.
It's 6 hours long.
Ridiculous.
They have it's pretty forgettable. Not a lot happens, but goddamn that 4 minute one shot scene where the Spartan team is coming down the mountain.
Yeah? I don't know that I've not played five.
So you viewers and you should go on YouTube, look up Halo 5 launch trailer, I think it is.
Okay.
And it's this one shot of five Spartans airdropping down into a battlefield and then fighting their way through without any takes. Well, I mean, it's CG, but whatever. But, like, the camera doesn't break, and it is fantastic.
All right, well,
And then the rest of the game is just mediocre after that. It's very disappointing.
I'll do that, and we'll go ahead and throw that link up on our shit. Speaking of our shit...
Our shit.
We're going to plug some stuff.
That's Spring Breakers for you. Some Alien. Look at my shit.
Game over, man. Game over. You know, we have always...
Spring break, y'all. Spring break forever.
We have the regular contacts for us, as always. But something new that has happened... this is completely my...
What has happened?
My fuck-up is that we are now listed on the Google Play Store as well as iTunes. So, if you have an Android...
Is that a good thing? You say, like, that's a bad thing. A fuck-up on your part.
It is a fuck-up on my part because I thought we were on the Google Play Store... Oh, ever ago! Because, like, I mean, it's only been available for, like, I think 4 months that they've started having podcasts on there. And on spoiler alert for people, on the back end of our website, when we updated, it was like, hey, add your stuff to the Google Play Store here. And so I did that, and I thought I did everything right. And I thought that I was supposed to... What basically happened is I forgot to click one fucking box. So we weren't listed on there for a long time.
Cool.
And I finally figured it out, and I was like, oh, that's what I fucking fucked up? Okay.
Cool.
Click. So now we're on there, everybody.
Hey.
And you can
we
find
are
us.
At a point in this podcast where we should have been 6 months ago. Let's pat ourselves on the back.
Maybe 4 months ago. But yeah, still, we are fucking everywhere. There is not a place you cannot find us at. So it's really your excuse for not telling your friends about us, because if you're listening, you already have found us somewhere.
Yeah.
But your friends haven't. So, you know, maybe prod them a little bit. Let them know that we're kind of not great, but we're kind of okay. And we'll take that.
Wow, that was a depressing ramble there.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I psych myself up. Like, it's hard to talk about myself.
Let's just turn this into a really sad existential podcast for
please
the last
Please listen
minutes.
To us and tell two friends. And
what
then
am I doing with my
friends.
Life?
No. That's really all I got to say. Uncharted 4. Hell yeah. Play it. It's well worth it, especially
Absolutely.
At this point. So get it. Way to go, Naughty Dog. I look forward to what you fucking guys come out with next.
Highly, highly recommend.
Absolutely. Thank you guys, as always. We're Experience Grind. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
Grind out.
Hi, this is Ryan, and if you liked what you just saw or listened to, please check us out at experiencegrind.com. Find us on facebook.com/experiencegrind, at Twitter, over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where Kyle's tweeting out a lot of stuff all the time. And then you can always find us, our podcast, on iTunes, Stitcher, Twitch, or even on YouTube. Find us, just search Experience Grind Podcast. We don't have a channel yet. Stuff super easy to find. But please subscribe. We'll get there to you, make it even easier. And as always, if you like what you saw, we cover mini games and episodes every week. There's sure to be something you love. And as always, grind out.